between my son-in-law, one of my sons-in-law, and myself, we redid and restructured the Haggadah. There's an introduction. I wrote an introduction which really is a biography of the author, the Baal Orach HaShulchan. The Orach HaShulchan, since the time of the that Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch some 400 years ago, there is nobody else who has written on all of Halacha as Rabbi Yechiel Michal HaLevi Epstein wrote the Orach HaShulchan on the four sections of the Shulchan Aruch, in addition to all of the mitzvot HaTliyot Ba'aretz. We did mention a little bit about him last week. He was born in his city, Bobrysk. And it's unbelievable sometimes an individual can have a certain insight and he brings blessing for generations. In this city, Bobrysk, there was a Rav by the name of Rabbi Eliyahu Goldberg. Rabbi Eliyahu Goldberg met at a wedding. He met this young man, Yechiel Michal, and talking with him, he was able to see his great potential, which, by the way, we will talk about in another context during the course of this year. And the Orach HaShulchan came from a family of business people, Talmidei Chachamim and business people, and he was going to follow. He had already begun. He learned part of the day, did business. The Rav suggested that he should sit and study Torah full time and the family should take care of him, which is exactly what they did. And he jumped at the opportunity of being able to leave the world of business and concentrate on the world of Torah. But this Rabbi Eliyahu Goldberg went one step further, and he suggested very strongly to this young man, Rabbi Yechiel Michal, that he should concentrate on halacha, not on pilpul, halacha. And what he really did was he created one of the great minds of halacha of the last 300-400 years. What a, you know, good advice from somebody who's bright and who cares made the whole difference, not only in his life. Rabbanim, don't make a move without seeing what the Orach HaShulchan has to say about a particular halacha. One of the things that his son writes about him, as I told you, his son is the author of the Torah Tamima, Rabbi Baruch HaLevi Epstein. His son writes about him, and this is something that shook me. He wrote without erasing. Wrote a whole page, went to the next page, and as they were written, they went to the printer. That was it. Vey, vey, vey. I usually start a letter, dear something or other. Yesterday, I didn't get the D right. And he was able to write he had a Gemara in front of him, a Shulchan Aruch, and a Rambam. And all the rest was here. Great man, and here, this great Sefer, which puts him in a category not only of the great halachist, but great in drush, in homiletics, in hashkafa, and it had been out of print for all of these years, and it was waiting for me. I had three paperback copies that, I don't know why I loved it, so I, one year, about 30 years ago, 40 years ago, I bought one paperback copy, then I bought another paperback copy, and then I finally found out why I need them, because I gave one to my son-in-law, Yehuda Goldreich, in Beit Shemesh, who's a big Talmud Chacham and a whiz with a computer, and he went to work on restructuring the whole Haggadah. So he had a copy, I had a copy, and there was another copy someplace floating around, I don't know where it is. But we don't need it anymore. We have this. We don't need it anymore. And as I told you, this was originally in Rashi script. Now it's in regular block letters. Has all of the sources are cited here. And I want to give Shevach Vahodoya thanks to the Rebbein Shem that I was able to accomplish this. Okay? Now we're going to give you a little bit another taste of some of the wonderful things that he says. Here in the Haggadah, Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Eliezer, everybody knows the great story. And we had referred to it last week, but here we get to the piece itself. Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbi Yoshua v'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'Rabbi Akiva v'Rabbi Tarfon shehayu mesuvim b'Bnei Brak. How many rabbis are there here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They had the Seder in Bnei Brak. Now the one who lived in Bnei Brak of these five was Rabbi Akiva. All the rest lived elsewhere. That night they were talking about the exodus from Egypt all night. Until their students came and said to them, Ravotenu, our rabbis, Hikiyazman Kriyat Shma Shal Shachrit, the time to say Shema in the morning has arrived. Of course, its context within the Haggadah is because the piece before was the piece Avodah Vayinu, in which we say, even if we're all wise, even if we are all elders, even if we know the Torah, there is still a mitzvah to relate the story of the Exodus. The Chol HaMarbe L'Sape B'Yitziyat Mitzchayim, the one who says as much as he can about Yitziyat Mitzchayim, Hadeza Meshubah, it's praiseworthy. And here we have these great Talmidei Chachamim who are spending the whole night talking about the Exodus from Egypt. A lot has been written about this. And you'll see, let's take a look at the first paragraph. Yeshul the Bonein does that. We have to think about this. Doha Rabbi Eliezer Hoysa Dirato B'Lud. Rabbi Eliezer, the first one who's mentioned in the Mishnah, lived in Lud. Rabbi Yehoshua lived in Pekin. Where is Pekin? Upper Galilee. All right? Oh, very good. Okay. All right. All right. Good. I just wanted to know generally where it is. I don't need to know precise longitude and latitude, you know? Okay? All right. Huh? It's always... Yes. And now it's an Arab... it's an Arab village now. But there's still a shul there. Right. No, okay. All right. Okay, that's it, you know, and I give them a chance to talk. They're waiting here a whole week to talk. Rabbi Akiva b'Bnei Brak. Rabbi Akiva's place was B'nai Brak, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Now what's amazing is Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua were Rabbi Akiva's rabbis. Do you understand? The rabbis are at the Seder of the student. Now we can understand a chassid going to a rebbe or a talmid to his rebbe, but here the students are at the seder of the rebbe. Vim kain, huh? Well, the rebbes, the rebbeim were at the seder of the student. All right, got it. We got it right. Okay. Vim kain eizu siva haita. What was the reason she shav to kulam b'chag haPesach? Eitzel Rabbi Akiva. Why do they all spend Yontif by Rabbi Akiva? And then he says, on Rabbi Eliezer, the question is even greater. The Iyuos Spidalei, Rabbi Eliezer says in Masech the Sukkah, Shasur Latzet mi Beito Baregel. How do you like that? Rabbi Eliezer says that a person is not permitted to leave his home for Yontif. Yontif, you stay home. And this same Rabbi Eliezer who says, on Yontif, you stay home, didn't stay home that Yontif and went to Rabbi Akiva to Bnei Brak. And then he goes on to ask a similar group of questions, but basically this is it. Take a look at the last line in that first paragraph. Umikol ze muchrach shehayo inyan gadol shehuchrachu liyot b'chag haPesach b'mekomo shel Rabbi Akiva. All of this seems to indicate, move us in the direction that there had to be something extremely important why all of these people are gathered at the home of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer should have been home. Rabbi Eliezer was his Rebbe. Rabbi Yeshua was up in Pekin. What was he doing in Bnei Brak? The others also didn't live in Bnei Brak. The Yiril and the Fiani is not the second paragraph. It seems to me, he says, He brings the famous Gemara at the end of Masechta Makot. Now the chances are, if you've been going to bar mitzvahs over the last few years, there's a beautiful custom that a bar mitzvah boy finishes a Masechet in Talmud by his bar mitzvah. And one of those that is chosen is Masechet Makot because it's 24 Daf Gemara, but they're very 24 serious Daf Gemara. And Makot ends with the great story. And the story over there is Ukvar Hoyu, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, and Azariah, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Akiva, Shoyo Mahalchen Baderech. Gemara ends with the story of these rabbis who are going, and Rabbi Akiva is there, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is there, he's one of the people now in Bnei Brak, the Rabbi Yoshua. Shomu kol hamona shel Romi, they heard the sounds of Rome. There was a sense of the power of Rome. V'yischilu bochen. By the way, the Gemara says that they were on Harazesim, on their way up toward Harabayit. It's after the Churban Habayit, and they see the masses of Roman legions. And the Hitchil Bochen, they began to cry, Rabbi Akiva Mesachik, and Rabbi Akiva is the one who begins to laugh. What was it that they cried about? They saw a fox coming out of this Holy of Holies, the Kodesh Kodashim. The Holy of Holies, where only a Kohen Gadol went in on Yom Kippur, and a fox comes walking out. So they begin to cry. Legitimate, very legitimate. It's enough to make anybody cry. And he began to laugh. I don't know about laugh. I would rather smile. I like better to translate it. He began to smile. Omar Hamza, he said to them, why are you crying? So they said to him, why are you laughing? And furthermore, they tell him, Halol Yoshvim Betach Vahashke, take a look, the Romans are living in security, in peace. And look at us. Destruction. Kiva told him, that's why I'm smiling. Im la ovredit sono kach, la oserit sono lachas kama v'kama. If this is how God treats those who deny him and reject him, then those who fulfill God's mitzvah, someday their reward is going to be great. The Gemara goes on further to say over there that he said that when I saw, Rabbi Akiva tells him, when I saw that the prophecy of destruction, one of the Nevi'im says, Shu'olim hilchuba, foxes will go through the Kodesh HaKadoshim. When I see that the prophecy of destruction has been fulfilled so precisely, now I am certain that the prophecy of the rebirth and the return of the Jewish people and the reconstruction of the Beit HaMikdash will certainly be fulfilled. The Gemara ends by saying, Omrlo, they said to him, Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva, you have consoled us. You have consoled us. I heard a beautiful word in the name of a fellow davens in shul, Reb Yitzchak Kaufman. There's a very beautiful Gemara. The Gemara in Masechta Nedarim tells us the whole story of Rabbi Akiva and his wife, the famous Rachel, the daughter of Kalba Savua. Rachel was the daughter of Kalba Savua, was one of the great wealthy men of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Akiva was a shepherd. Not only he was a shepherd, he was an ignorant shepherd. Rabbi Akiva once said about himself that when I was a shepherd, if I would have found the Talmud Chacham, I would have torn him apart like a fish. Despised them. This Rachel... Well, let's use contemporary terminology. She fell in love with Rabbi Akiva. here is this opulent, from an opulent family, this girl, Rachel, she falls in love with Rabbi Akiva, and she tells her father that she's going to marry him, and he disowns her completely. Nothing stops her, and she marries him. And the Gemara describes they didn't have, you understand, to get married in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't have an apartment. You know, they didn't have an apartment. And they slept in a barn. They slept in a barn on hay. And the Gemara describes how Rabbi Akiva would take the hay out of her hair in the morning. I mean, what an unbelievable story. And she sends Rabbi Akiva, she sends him to study Torah. And he's away for 12 years. Famous story, he's away for 12 years. He comes back. Where's he been? He's been learning by Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. And as he comes home, he hears somebody talking to his wife, and she says, if Akiva would listen to me, he'd go back and learn for another 12 years. So he turned around and did exactly that, and went to learn for another 12 years. When he returned after 24 years, he came with 24,000 students. And when he came back home, you understand, here is his wife, doesn't have a new dress to go out and see him. They want to give her a dress. He says, no, he knows me. Anyway, here is this woman who seems to look like she's destitute, and she's trying to get through the lines of the yeshiva students. They must all be singing, and he sees her coming, so he says, step aside. Sheli v'shelachem shelohu. All that I have and all that you have, it's all hers. So this Rabbi Yitzchak, that was my mutual, said a beautiful, beautiful part. What's it mean? It must be a deeper meaning. Yeah, we owe her a debt of gratitude. She sent me off to learn. I became Rabbi Akiva. I have 24,000 students. But he says, no, there was even more than that. Even more than that. You know what she had? She had the uncanny ability to see his potential. Uncanny ability. She saw what he can be. When Rabbi Akiva says, Sheli v'shelachem, what did Rabbi Akiva become for Klal Yisrael? The great consoler. Do you understand? The rabbis see a fax. Oh, a fax coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You know what he sees? He sees a Beis Hamikdash rebuilt. He sees beyond what they see. They see what's before their very eyes. Rabbi Akiva is able to see far, far beyond what they're able to see. Where did he get this from? Where did he get this awesome optimism? Where did he get this ability to remove all of the layers that cover reality and get down to the very heart of it and see what will ultimately happen? That uncanny ability I got from her. When the whole world saw me as an ignorant shepherd that nothing will ever come of him, she saw awesome potential. Rabbi Akiva is the one who infused great consolation in the Jewish people that were battered and downtrodden by Rome. He sees beyond Rome. It's unbelievable. There's so many statements in the rabbis about Rabbi Akiva's great ability to see further. If you're Rabbi Akiva, you see a lot further than all of the rest. But I'm trying to remember a medrash. Medrash says, Pam Achas, one time Rabbi Akiva, Hoyodoresh, Rabbi Akiva was saying a drosha, Bikesh Ha'om Lisnamneim. The people were beginning to fall asleep. So he said to them, let Esther, who is a granddaughter of Imenu, who lived 127 years, let her come and rule over 127 realms. And everybody woke up. Right. What's going on over here? Because Sarah lived 127 years, therefore Esther ruled over 127 states. What's he talking about? The big akasha is, because homeless, non-named people were beginning to doze off. I can't for the life of me imagine dozing off by a shear of Rabbi Akiva. Impossible. The giant, the colossus of Torah Shabbat by Rabbi Akiva, she fall asleep. Can't be. I saw somebody once who explained Rabbi Akiva lived through extremely difficult times. Remember, Rabbi Akiva was the one who raised the banner of rebellion against Rome, the Bar Kokhba rebellion. Unfortunately, crushed afterwards. But he was the one that gathered a people. Not only gathered a people, Gemara describes how Rabbi Akiva traveled to different places in the world. He was raising the funds. He was raising manpower for the struggle against Rome. So they say, you know what the Gemara meant? The Medrash says, Bikish, homeless, non-named people wanted to fall asleep. They wanted to give up. We're tired of fighting. Understand? We know. We're tired. We're exhausted. Okay. No further comment is necessary. Okay. We're tired. Rabbi Akiva saw that the people are falling asleep. So he told him, don't you understand the awesome power of a Jewish people? Here is a Sarah we talked about last week. Wasn't able to give birth, and miraculously she gives birth. She lives 127 years, and then later, could anybody have written the script of the Megillah? That some Maidala called Esther is going to become the queen of 127 realms, and she's going to save the Jewish people. Who could have written the script? You always have to look at Jewish history through the eyes of the miraculous, the unbelievable. That was the Koyach of Rabbi Akiva. And you know where he got it from. That's the beautiful word, Sheli, my great optimism and my ability to see further. V'shelachem, and your great optimism, Talmidim of mine. You know where I got it from? I never saw myself as being Rabbi Akiva. I saw myself as being a lowly shepherd that would never amount to anything. But she saw that great ability. We all owe her. What a beautiful word. I love it. Ah, you know, one of the things, then later, the fact is that later Rabbi Akiva became wealthy, and the Gemara lists the different ways in which he became wealthy, but he's the one that bought for his wife an ear, Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. That's where the Gemara uses the term Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. It was a tiara, and you know, sort of the ramparts of Yerushalayim out of gold. That's what she wanted. The Aruch HaShulchan says, you know what all of these rabbis are doing in the home of Rabbi Akiva on Pesach? They have come to pay homage to Rabbi Akiva, who has become the one who consoles, who moves them, who fills them with optimism, who gives them the ability to keep going. That was what Klal Yisrael at that moment in history needed more than anything else. And the one who rose above them all was Rabbi Akiva. They came to tell him, yes, Akiva, nichamtanu, Akiva. Of course, there are, over the years, there have been many mafarshim that say that the gathering of the home of Rabbi Akiva for the Seder was because they came to plan the rebellion, so they needed a cover, you understand? So they got together. If they had to move through Roman lines, Jews are going places to Pesach. So they came to the home of Rabbi Akiva. Why did they come to the home of Rabbi Akiva? Because Rabbi Akiva is going to be the mover and the shaker of the rebellion against Rome. And of course, the rest of the story continues that it all depended on what the students are going to say. Who's going to fight? Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Loza and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Loza ben Azari and Rabbi Tafan are not going to fight. What they need is the students. And the students came in and said, Rabotenu higiyazman kriyat shma shel shachris. Kriyat shma represents accepting upon oneself the heavenly yoke. The only way you can do that fully is by throwing off the yoke of any other kingdom in this world. And the students are therefore saying, Rebbes, we're ready to go out and fight against Rome. We're ready to accept all Malchut Shamayim. Anyway, let's go a little further in. In the next paragraph, there's something. Take a look at where it says "Vinidali Levayer." That's the third paragraph. Very beautiful. He's going to say something here that there's a great deal to do with it. You'll see right away. "Vinidali Levayer." It seems to me to explain the Bemet Nichaman al Holam Azeh. Rabbi Akiva is not merely consoling them. You know, it's going to be good someday in the world to come. No, Rabbi Akiva is living in the real world. And he consoles them that it's going to be good in this world. And he says, "Behegdem divrei hanavi." I want to begin with the words of the navi. Follow me a little bit. Turn over on. You're going to have to move back and forth a little bit, but you know that you can follow instructions. Just go on to the back, and you'll see on the back, down at the bottom, it says Eicha. He's going to quote a few psukim from Eicha, and he's going to explain them. The Aruch HaShulchan, the Leil Shimurim. These are the psukim, but they're clearer here, and then we'll go back. Va'omar, this is an Eicha. I said, Ovad Nitzchi, my eternity is lost. V'tochalti me'ashem, and all that I had hoped for from God, it's all gone. Remember, Yirmiyahu was talking about the Churban. He's talking about, of the tikvatenu, you understand? Oh, we've lost hope. Zechor onyu merudi, Rabbein Yisrael, remember my poverty and how downtrodden I am. Lam of a rosh, I've had to swallow and to drink the poisons. Lam of a rosh. Zechor tiskor, remember, because v'tashuach alai nafshi, I am broken, I'm bent. So first he's describing a Jewish people that are falling under the burden of a history that has become so heavy to bear. Zos oshiva libi. You know what I'm going to do? The Navi says, Yirmiyahu says, Zot oshiva libi. This is what I'm going to say to my heart. Al kein ochil, and therefore I'm going to be able to hope. I'm going to have renewed hope. Chazdei Hashem kilo tamnu. You know where I get my renewed hope? A resurgence. It comes because Chazdei Hashem kilo tamnu. God's kindness is never ending. Kilo cholu rachamav. There is no cessation, no end to His mercy. Chadoshim lebekarim. God makes new things every day. Rabba emunatecha. Great is having faith in you. So in these few psukim, we have first of all a description of hopelessness. All gone. And then all of a sudden, There God deals with us with chesed and with emes. With chesed and with rachamim. Chazdei Hashem ki lo tomnu. God's kindness does not end. Lo cholu rachamav. His mercy has no end. Now he goes back and he says the following.
מרלי לבד באמת ניחמנו על העולם הזה בהקדם דברי הנביא ואני הגבר. אני הגבר is the two first words in the third chapter in Eicha. ואומר, I said, עובד נצחי ותאכלתי מהשם, זכור עוני ומרודי לנו בראש, זכור תזכור ותשוח עלי נפשי, זאת אושיב אל ליבי על קן אוכיל, חסדי השם כי לא תמנו כי לא כל הרחמות. והביאור נידלי קן, this is the way you have to understand it. And he's going to differentiate now between two terms, chesed and rachamim. Chesed, I imagine, we would translate as kindness, loving kindness. Rachamim is mercy, compassion, pity. By the way, when you get hooked on these two words, you're going to find so many places in davening where they come together as a pair, sometimes singly, sometimes together, or sometimes one, sometimes the other. You may get the clue to understand the difference right here. And he does it so simply, very beautifully. He says, Habir nearly came to Nechesed v'rachamin, loving kindness and mercy, im ki nosei echad lehem. They are all fall under one category. There's a big difference between them. Chesed does not have to be preceded by judgment or justice. You'll understand in a moment. You're going to understand. Not so God's midah, God's personality in which He is merciful. It always has to be preceded, Sheikh Dimanu Midas Adin. It has to be preceded by din, by judgment, harsh judgment. Ledugma. Listen to this example that he gives. And he turns what could be a difficult concept into something so simple to understand. Im Nomar, if we're going to say that Hamelech also chesed in ploini ha'oshir, shenosan lo elef kesef b'matana yecholu lishma. If we hear that the king, some very wealthy guy, he gave him 1,000, he did an act of chesed and gave him 1,000 pieces of silver, gold, whatever it was, elef kesef, 1,000 pieces. He says, you can hear that, you'll see right away, just give yourself one more moment. Avlim nomar, can you say that God had pity, mercy, compassion on this poor rich man and gave him 1,000 pieces of silver? You can't even say that out of your mouth. What do you mean? He had mercy. Poor multi-billionaire. The king gave him 1,000 pieces of silver. You can't even hear. You can't even say something like that. Since he's wealthy, what, it's a grace of rachmanis on him, you have to give him 1,000 pieces of kesef. V'shem rachamim eino ela al ha'oni. When can you use the word rachamim, mercy, pity, compassion, only for the one who is poor? Sheshor olav midas hadin. Judgment rests upon him. V'chein hu amidos etzul chachmei ha'kabbalah. He does, from time to time, take us into the world of Kabbalah. Very interesting. His first shtela as a Rav, when he was a young man, his first shtela as a Rav was in a city where most of the community were Hasidim of Chabad. And here it is, a Litvisha young man in his 20s is taken by this city to be Rav, like God Almighty. That's like anyway, he understood, and they made it clear to him that they would like him to meet the Rebbe. The Rebbe then was the Tzemach Tzedek. Tzemach Tzedek was one of the like all of the Rebbes, but he was an unusual exceptional great, great Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Yechiel Michel spent a full month in the house of the Tzemach Tzedek, and I don't remember the dates already. I wrote them in, I think it was 1862. They spent hours and hours every day, discussing everything from halacha to hashkafa, chassidus, kabbalah.
And there was some bond that was created between the sage Rebbe and the young Yechiel Michal. And he also opened up to him the portals, the gates of Kabbalah. And then he came back to his community and they were very happy with their Rav who had spent so much time. He writes a great deal. He told his family a great deal about that month that he spent in the at the home of the Tzemach Tzedek. And the Tzemach Tzedek brought him into the world of Kabbalah as well. So here he says, in the world of Kabbalah, by Chachmei Kabbalah, Chesed Din Rachamim. Chesed is loving kindness. Din always precedes Rachamim. The one that you have mercy on is somebody who's downtrodden, somebody who's desperately in need. See, he's going to say there are two ways in which God conducts himself with his fellow human beings in general and with the Jewish people in particular. Chesed, as we will see, chesed is something that God will do, number one, without it having been earned. Chesed doesn't have to be earned. Pouring out chesed, you don't deserve it, but I want to shower chesed upon you. Chesed also means abundance, a great deal, abundance. Rachamim is when the need is great, then God acts with rachamim. You're going to see, you're going to go through, we're going to show you a little bit more about chesed rachamim, because if you pay attention to your davening, you understand. Mechalkel chayim bechesed, mechayei meisim berachamim rabim. How do you like that? And by the way, that's not the first place. There have been 10 other places in davening before you get there. Mechalkel chayim bechesed. There, you know what? Mechalkel chayim means that God provides for every living being. Now the fact is, you created us, you got to provide for us. But over there, Mechalkel chayim bechesed means God really has prepared a world in which there can be an abundance. He didn't simply create a world with bread and water. He created with kol tuv shebaolam. That's an act of overriding chesed, kindness. Mechaye meisim. Mechaye meisim. There may be those who are unworthy, but the Tchiyat HaMeisim is going to be an act of rachamim. Even the one who may be unworthy, but God is going to bring the dead back to life. So, Hazon Nesuaylam Kulo Bituvo Bechein Bechesed Uverachamim. Who knows Zain Lechem Lechobasa Ki Leolam Ta'azdo. He provides for everybody, but he also provides in great abundance. That's his chesed. And for those who, for one reason or other, may be in dire need, the Rebbeinu provides for them as well. He acts with chesed, and he acts with rachamim. So what the Baal, what the Aruch HaShulchan is going to say is the following. Let's go the... So what happened over there in Eicha? In Eicha he says, Chazde Hashem ki lo yutamnu. First of all, you know what we have to hope for? We can hope for Chesed Hashem. Chesed Hashem can come in a single instant of time. Chazde Hashem ki lo yutamnu. And you should know, ki lo cholu rachamov. There's no end to God's mercy. He will take a look at our condition. He is going to pour out his great... is great abundance to us. Look in the last paragraph. This is the conversation that took place between those holy Tanaim. They weren't upset about the fact that the Romans are at peace. We're not jealous of that. Ellen, it started with their pain was about the suffering al dachkut v'tzarot Yisrael meharomiyim. They were concerned about the fact that we suffer so much under the heel of Rome. All of these people who are mentioned over here, they were all
round about the time of Korban Beit HaMikdash, they weren't able to imagine that the Jewish people would rise again. They weren't able to imagine it. I'll tell you, we've gone through a similar experience. Who would have thought in 1945 that the Jewish people will recover? I mean, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Except them, it took 2,000 years until us that they should see it. Us, it took 3 years. From 1945 to 48. That they couldn't imagine. They couldn't imagine that Klal Yisrael would rise from the frightening and awful destruction. They cried because of great pain. Rabbi Akiva consoled them because he said, "Shemuftachu she'ini Hashem et Yisrael shelo yichlu chas v'shalom." God looks on the Jewish people that they should never disappear. V'gam kemitam zeh. And furthermore, the imla overated sonu hishpiel hem kol tacheset v'shalva. If this kind of chesed, an outpouring of God to those who reject Him and deny Him, im kein alachas kama v'kama. Certainly, Shiashpia midas rachmim al Yisrael shelo yichlu chas v'shalom. Certainly, there's going to be an outpouring of God's loving kindness. This, by the way, fits in with what the Aruch HaShulchan, the piece that we learned last week, the idea that he sees the whole story of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim as a story of encouragement, a story of hope for the future, a message to the Jewish people never, never to despair. And of course, as we learned last week, he begins with Avram and Sarah. The very fact that they gave birth to a Yitzchak was a miracle of the greatest order. There's nothing about the Jewish people that can be put within to the constricting confines of nature. Our whole existence, far, far beyond nature. And those, unfortunately, who can only see Jewish history within those small confines have difficulty seeing ahead. I love these guys. They have it figured out. In 20 years from now, 90%, you understand, 90% of the country is going to be Arab, and 10%, yeah, the demographers, you understand, have it all figured out. They don't have it all figured out. Just as they sold us a line 20 years ago that budget, we're falling apart at the seams, and then all of a sudden a million Russians come and I don't think they're too happy about all those Russians coming, you understand. All of a sudden they have a Lieberman to contend with. But Jewish history is not normal. Not normal. Let's go over to the next. Huh? I can't hear what? I don't get the difference between chesed and rachamim is that rachamim, there must be some aspect of din, punishment, suffering for rachamim to come into play. Because there are many, I said, because there may be many people who are not worthy of it. But God is going to have mercy on them. No. Because of His rachamim. That's why when Anshei Knesset HaGedola wrote the Shmoneh Esrei, they wrote, Mechalkel Chayim Bechesed, Mechayei Mesim Berachamim Rabim, great rachamim. Because there may be people who are not worthy of it. And it's only going to be because God cannot see people being lost. He cannot see Nishamas being lost. The Malbim in one place is going to say that rachamim is the result of the fact that one cannot face the suffering and the pain of another person. And that triggers the outpouring of rachamim. For chesed, there doesn't have to be any suffering at all. Nobody's suffering. Everybody's fine. Everybody's great. Everything's terrific. And God decides He wants to act with chesed. Next page. V'lachein ani omed. Therefore I say. You got it? ולכן אני אומר שבעד זה החזיקו טוב לרבי עקיבא. Here, therefore, they held that Rabbi Akiva, they owed him a debt of gratitude. Al shechizkam b'tikvas klal Yisrael tekef achar ha-churban. He gave them the strength with hope for the Jewish people immediately after the korban. Velachein bo kulam le'ido le'beito shel Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, they all came to the city of the house of Rabbi Akiva. The only one that didn't come from those rabbis was Rabbi Gamliel. Levadcha ben Gamliel lo halach mnei shahoya nasi. Rabbi Gamliel couldn't do that because he was the nasi. He had his tafkid. Ve'im kulam bo elav le'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim b'leil chara Pesach. They all came to relate the story of the Exodus from Egypt on the night of Pesach, and they should be Yitzias Mitzrayim gam kein mitbareh Nitzchias Yisrael. This is how this connects to the earlier piece that we learned. Because Yitzias Mitzrayim talks about the eternity of the Jewish people. If we're not going to last into eternity, why in heaven's name did God come down with Eser Makos and Osus of Osun to take us out if it's only going to be something of a temporary nature? The very fact that God came and took us out of Egypt in such unusual, exceptional, miraculous, wondrous circumstances is only because we're going to be here forever. We're going to be here forever. And that's why he did it. And that's the whole message of the night of Pesach. That's why he's going to say later that b'chol dor v'dor, in every generation, chayav onim lidus esatzmei, a person has to see himself as though he went out of Egypt. In other words, one has to be re-inspired to a sense of the eternity of the Jewish people every year on the night of Pesach, and not give me this stuff, we're tired, we're exhausted, we can't, we finished, how many more words, you understand, tired, shmayed. Rabbi Akiva didn't say he was tired. By the way, I think it's Rashi who says, I think there's a passage that we don't really know what it means. Al tashlichenu le'ez zikna, kechlos kochenu al tazvenu. You know, so everybody thinks that this has to be said with great kavana by the gimlaim. You understand? The pensionerin, the shivim, the beishmainim, the beitishim, al tashlichenu, God, don't cast us away le'ez zikna. When we're tired, we're exhausted. Ois gemitchet, ois geveik. Kechlos kochenu, when our energy is gone, you know, Al Tazenu, do not forsake us. That's not the way the Mefarshim learn it. You know what the Mefarshim learn? They learn that the Pasuk is talking about an ancient, old people, the Jewish people, bowed by the weight of centuries. Rabbeinu Shem, we've been around for a long time. Oh, you're not going to cast us away now when we're about, I don't know, 3,500 years old, 4,000 years old. When our chevra over here, and you understand that. Al tazdeinu, don't forsake us. The pasuk is not talking about the individual Jew. I mean, of course, one can extrapolate for the individual group, but that's not what the pasuk is talking about. So, you know, the fact is, I have to tell this to young people so that they should also, when you come to that pasuk, they should say, don't cast Klal Yisrael away at the time of their old age. And Klal Yisrael is a great deal older than all of us. Well, I'll tell you, if I hear another pensioner joke, a Gimlai joke, I'm going to sack somebody. I'm going to sack somebody. You understand? These guys have more energy than the you understand? They have more energy than the fellas that are complaining. Alright, I've got to watch myself, you know. Alright. So he goes on to say, watch. Because the mitzvah of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim makes clear the eternity of the Jewish people, shekol kli yutzar olav lo yitzlach. No weapons, kli yutzar, implements of war that are fashioned, will not be able to succeed against them. Lo yitzlach l'chalato chas v'shalom. I think they have to know that when we're talking about Iran and the bomb. We have to worry about it. We have to do something about it. But zarg zich nisht. Zarg zich nisht. They talked about this until the students came and told them, Rabbi Tenu Igiyas Ban Kriyash Mashashar Vizel Gam Kain, La Ameids Birkayim Koshalot. Kriyashma is that which strengthens those whose knees are weak. The Bikriyashma Shil Shachas. What do we say after Kriyashma Shil Shachas? You have to go. Ezra was saying, "Unto whom Yolam, God, you are the one that always saved us." You know, Ezra is such a beautiful thriller. And sometimes, you know, we just give a murmur through it over there. Oh gosh, you have to say that Ezra with great kavana. You're the one that always took care of us. You're the one that will continue to take care of us. So therefore, when the students say he gives man kriyash mashashachus, they meant kriyash mashashachus. And everything that comes after it. It's all an expression of, first of all, Ol Malchut Shemayim, we believe that there's a God, and you know what that God's full-time job is? Taking care of us. Mogeinu Moshiach Livneim, he's the shield and the one who saves their children after them, Bechol Dar V'Dar, in every generation. Bechol Dar V'Dar. You understand? The Bechol Dar V'Dar correspond to, he is the one that saves us, Bechol Dar V'Dar, because Bechol Dar V'Dar, Omdim Aleinu L'Chaloteinu, there are ones, those who rise up against us to destroy us. You know, sometimes I think that we're living in some kind of a fool's paradise. I don't want to upset you, Yom Tov, but we do have things to worry about. We do have things to worry about. There are a lot of people out there that seek no good for the Jewish people. What was it today? Al-Qaeda is setting up all sorts of bases in Gaza, you understand? We gave them enough place to board. They can spread over there, you understand? Who knows what else is going on? There are many threats out there. The Rebbeinu has to send us a Shiva Shavtein and Kvar Yishenu. We need the leadership that we'll be able to deal with this. All of these things that are between Kriyashma and Shemona Esrei, Shemuftochim Anachnu, that we are guaranteed from God, blessed He, Shiyelanu Kiyum Alami, He promises the eternity of the Jewish people. That's the whole story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he's going to go on to say that the most significant aspect of the whole Haggadah is the idea of Bechol Dor V'Dor at every generation. It means what he's going to say, one of his themes is going to be, you have to translate the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim into the present. If you're just going to sit there and tell a story about days of old, you know, once upon a time, if God forbid the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is going to be once upon a time, I don't think that one has fulfilled the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It has to be translated into our present condition. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has to tell us Israel is an eternal people. Am Yisrael Chai. And yes, there are great threats to our existence, but we did not get exhausted. Chazdei Hashem kilo tomnu kilo cholu rachamav. So the whole story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a story that's not simply relevant. It's a lifeline. You know what Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is? What hovers over the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the personality of Rabbi Akiva. The personality of Rabbi Akiva to take a look at the bright side, to be able to look beyond the present. I'll go one step further. You know what motivates and moves the entire Haggadah? Rachel. Rachel, the wife of Rabbi Akiva. Sheli, the Shelachem, what I have and what you have. Sheloi, it comes from her. She was the one that had the ability to take a look at an ignorant shepherd. By the way, I don't know how she did it. That's awesome. An ignorant shepherd, and she saw that he has the potential for greatness. And she was going to make it possible for him to do so. It's an unbelievable story, the story of Rabbi Akiva. And as I pointed out also, Klal Yisrael never held it against Rabbi Akiva that Rabbi Akiva said that Bar Kochva is Melech HaMashiach.
And as the Rambam says, that Rabbi Akiva, the Chol Chachmei Doro, Rabbi Akiva and all of the wise men of his generation, they decided that Bar Kochva is Mashiach. There was a sin, something. He could have been Mashiach. And the time was right for the coming of a Mashiach. The Jewish people had suffered, and what was ready, God was ready for an outpouring of both Chesed and Rachamim. Both. But it was not to be. It was not to be. Did anybody ever turn to Rabbi Akiva and say, Rabbi Akiva, what kind of business is this? You told us that he's Melech HaMashiach. Because they understood that Rabbi Akiva was right. And if Bar Kochva did not end up being Melech HaMashiach, it may have been of a fault in us. Maybe we weren't worthy. But he had the potential. So I say, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a story for all ages. By all ages, I mean two things. I mean Kinderlach, up until Pensionerim, and it also, all ages means in every generation. Bechol Dor V'Dor, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is a story of encouragement, of strength, and the, as I say, the spirit of Rabbi Akiva and Rachel hover over that whole Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So first of all, I want to wish you, I want to wish you all that you should have a Chag Kosher Sameach, and things should go well for Klal Yisrael. We need a great deal of chesed, and we need a great deal of rachamim. I don't want to be a coward, but I do want to tell you in advance that I am taking a mini sabbatical. Wait, take it easy. It's so mini, it's not even worth mentioning. Between Pesach and Shavuos, I am not going to say Shurim, but there will be a star-studded cast of rabbis who will say the Shurim in my place. The reason basically for it is, first of all, that's not the main reason. I mean, I've been at this business already about 24 years straight, with no break, but that's not it. I have a number of projects that I'm working on, and I just can't get them done. Every time I sit down to work on this project, whether it's writing or other things that I'm doing, I gotta have a shiur for Tuesday. I gotta have a drasha for Shabbos. I gotta have a shiur for Shabbos in the afternoon. I have to speak at the bar mitzvah. God, they had to pull a shalom zachar on me tonight. I'm so exhausted. It's Friday night. Or one of the thousand other things. And then, of course, I'm involved in a lot of all sorts of other things. I need a few weeks in which to advance some of my projects. So, you'll see me floating around over here. I'm going to come, you know, poke my head in to make sure that you still remember the old Reb. Al tashlichenu le'ezikna.